in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in His justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of His will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It is the will of God which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to earnest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "Once upon a time, four words only, yet they are like a magic formula, for they bear within them the quality of instantly arousing some special intuition in every human being. Seldom is this intuition of the same kind, similar to the effect of music, as exactly as with music, these four words also find their way straight to the spirit of man, his real ego, naturally only to those who do not keep the spirit completely locked within them and have thus already lost their real humanity here on earth. On hearing these words, however, every human being will involuntarily and instantly think back to some former experience. This rises vividly before him, and with the picture also a corresponding intuition. With one, it will be yearning tenderness, a melancholy happiness, or also a silent longing impossible of fulfillment. With others, however, pride, anger, horror, or hatred. Man will always think of some experience which made an exceptional impression upon him, but which he also thought long since extinguished within him. Yet, nothing has been extinguished in him, nothing lost of what he once really experienced within himself. All of it he can still call his own, as really acquired by himself, and thus imperishable. But only that which has been experienced. Nothing else can arise with these words. Man should for once closely heed this with care and with an alert mind. Then he will soon recognize what is really alive within him, and what can be designated as dead, as a soulless shell of useless memories. Only what has so deeply affected him during his earth life as to stamp an indelible and ineffaceable imprint on his soul, serves to benefit man, by whom we must not imagine the physical body. Only such imprints have an influence on the forming of the human soul, and thereby going further on the advancement of the spirit for its continual development. In reality, therefore, only that which leaves such a deep impression is experienced and thus made one's own. All else flits ineffectively by, or at best serves to help in the development of events that are capable of calling forth such great impressions. Happy is he who can call his own many such powerful experiences, no matter whether called forth by joy or sorrow. For the impressions they leave will one day be the most precious that a human soul takes with it on its way into the beyond. Purely intellectual work, such as is customary today, only when properly applied, serves to facilitate physical life on earth. Closely considered, that is the actual ultimate aim of all intellectual activity. In a final analysis, there is never any other result. With all erudition, irrespective of which branch of education, and also with all activities, whether in public affairs or in the family, with every individual or with nations, as also finally with humanity as a whole. But unfortunately, everything has subjected itself quite unconditionally to the intellect alone, and therefore lies in heavy chains of earthly limitation of the perceptive capacity, which was naturally bound to bring in its wake disastrous consequences in every activity and happening, and will continue to do so. To this, there is only one exception on this whole earth. This exception, however, is not perhaps offered to us by the Church, as many will think, and indeed as it should be, but by art. In this instance, the intellect unquestionably takes second place. But when the intellect gains the upper hand, art is at once reduced to craftsmanship. It is immediately and quite incontestably degraded from its lofty position. This is a logical consequence, which in its simple naturalness cannot possibly be otherwise. Not one exception to it can be pointed out. Of course, the same conclusion must also be drawn in all else. Does this not make man think? Surely it must be as though scales fell from his eyes. This quite plainly indicates to the thinking and discriminating person that with everything else dominated by the intellect, he can indeed obtain but one substitute, the inferior. From this fact, man should recognize the place assigned by nature to the intellect, if anything that is right and of value is to arise. So far, only art is still born out of the activity of the living spirit, out of the intuition. Art alone has had a natural and therefore a normal and healthy origin and development. The spirit, however, does not express itself in the intellect, but in intuitions, and manifests only in what is generally called inner warmth, or unassuming naturalness. Just what the intellectual man of today, who is so inordinately proud of himself, likes to mock and ridicule. Thus, he derides what is most valuable in man, yes, the very thing that really makes man a human being. Spirit has nothing to do with the intellect. If at length man wishes for improvement in all things, he must take heed of Christ's words, "By their works ye shall know them." The time is at hand when this will come to pass. Only the works of the Spirit, from their very origin, bear life within them, and with it permanence and stability. Everything else must collapse when its time of blossoming is past. As soon as the fruits of it are due to appear, the barrenness will be exposed. Just look at history. Only the work of the Spirit, that is to say heart, has outlived the peoples who have already collapsed through the activity of their intellect, which in itself is lifeless and cold. Their great, much praised knowledge could not offer them any salvation from collapse. Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans went this way. Later also the Spaniards and the French, now the Germans. Yet the works of genuine art have outlived them all, nor can they ever perish. But no one has perceived with what strict regularity these events have occurred. No person thought of getting to the real root of this great evil. Instead of searching for this root, and for once calling a halt to the ever-recurring decline, men have blindly submitted to it, and with lamentations and complaints have resigned themselves to the idea that nothing can be changed. Now, finally, it will strike all mankind. Much misery already lies behind us. Still greater, and deep affliction moves through the dense ranks of those who have even now to some extent been affected by it. Think of all the peoples who have already had to fall on reaching full bloom, the zenith of the intellect. The fruits which developed from the blossom time were everywhere the same: immorality, shamelessness, and debauchery in various forms, inevitably followed by decline and ruin. The complete similarity is very obvious to everyone, and also every thinking person must discover a very definite nature and consistency of the strictest laws in this happening. One after the other, these peoples had finally to recognize that their greatness, their power, and their glory were only apparent, upheld solely by force and compulsion, and not secured by an inner soundness. If you would only open your eyes, instead of despairing, look about you, learn from the past, and compare it with the messages that have reached you already thousands of years ago from the divine, and you must discover the root of the devouring evil, which alone forms the obstacle to the ascent of all mankind. Only when the evil has been thoroughly eradicated will the path to general ascent be opened, not before. And this will then be lasting, because it will be animated by the living spirit, which has hitherto been impossible. Before going into this subject more deeply, I want to explain what spirit, as the only really living part in man, is. Spirit is not wit, and not intellect, nor is spirit acquired knowledge. It is erroneous, therefore, to call a person rich in spirit because he has studied, read, and observed much, and knows how to converse well about it, or because his brilliance expresses itself through original ideas and intellectual wit. Spirit is something entirely different. It is an independent consistency coming from the world of its homogeneous species, which is different from the part to which the earth and thus the physical body belong. The spiritual world lies higher. It forms the upper and lightest part of creation. Owing to its consistency, this spiritual part in man bears within it the task of returning to the spiritual realm as soon as all the material coverings have been severed from it. The urge to do so is set free at a very definite degree of maturity and then leads the spirit upwards to its homogeneous species, through whose power of attraction it is raised. Spirit has nothing to do with the earthly intellect, only with the quality which is described as inner warmth or unassuming naturalness. To be rich in spirit, therefore, is the same as being inwardly warm, unassuming and natural, but not the same as being highly intellectual. Just to discover this difference more easily, man should now make use of the expression "once upon a time." That alone will help many seekers to find clarification. If they observe themselves carefully, they can recognize what has so far proved beneficial to their souls in their heart life, or what has merely served to ease the conditions of their life and work in the earthly environment. In other words, what is of value to them not only on earth but also in the beyond, and what serves only earthly purposes but remains valueless for the beyond. The one can be taken over by man, but the other he leaves behind on his departure as belonging only here, because it can be of no further use to him. What he leaves behind, however, is but the tool for earthly events, an aid for the time on earth, nothing more. If a tool is not used solely as such, but is valued much more highly, it obviously cannot come up to the higher demands made upon it. It is in the wrong place, and will thereby naturally also produce many kinds of deficiencies, which in time will have quite disastrous consequences. The first and foremost of these tools is the earthly intellect, which, as a product of the human brain, must bear within itself the limitation to which anything physical gross material, by its own consistency, is subject. And the product cannot possibly be different from its origin. It always remains bound to the nature of the origin. Likewise, the works that develop through the product. For the intellect, this naturally results in the most limited, purely earthly comprehensive capacity, closely bound to time and space. Since it originates in a world of gross matter, itself inert and with no life of its own, the intellect is also without living power. This condition, of course, is likewise perpetuated in all the activities of the intellect, for which it thereby remains impossible to impart life to its work. In this inflexible natural happening lies the key to the unhappy events during man's life on this small earth. End of quote. You're just listening to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be obtained on Grail Land, Eju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers, and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Now, public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail Message. Date, Sunday, 14th of September, 2014. Venue, Grail Center, 129B Akomojo Road, Kwara Bus Stop, Akomojo, Lagos. Topic, This Tumultuous World, What Lies Behind It? Time of lecture, 4 p.m. Also, on Sunday, 14th of September, 2014, the venue of lecture is Continuous Education Center Lecture Hall, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. The topic is based on the Grail Message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we are in the interactive segment of this program. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. Now let's make some announcements of Grace Centers where copies of the Grace Message can be obtained. In Enugu, the Grace Center is on Old Airport Road opposite Ekochin Hospital, MNA, Enugu. In Ado-Ekiti, Number 6, Olatunde Oguneyi Street, Ekiti State Housing Estate, Okeila, Ado, Ekiti. In Benin, Grail Acres, Ego, Kilometer 10, Benin Siluko Road. Alright, we have our first caller. Godwin is calling from Abuja. Hello, Godwin.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm Godwin calling from Abuja.
Okay.
The question is, the other time I asked about the something, you said it's possible for a person to know another person's heart, what the person is thinking. And I choose to ask if it's possible to get the positive solution to it.
How about you?
Huh?
I can't get your question. Can you repeat it? I can't get it.
I said the other time I asked.
Reduce the volume of your radio. Reduce
for other people to know about another person's heart. I mean, what the person is thinking in his heart, then other people can know about it. And if
well,
that is true, then what is the positive solution to it?
That if somebody can know what somebody else is thinking. Is that the question?
Yes, yes, yes.
And so what is the question you want to ask about now?
The question I'm asking is, if it's possible for other people to know about what other person is thinking, is that not speaking, but thinking, is that if you think can be revealed to other people, no, then what is the positive solution?
Okay, now what you are asking is it possible for somebody to know what you are thinking? That is the question. And it is also possible. For example, when you are thinking, you produce a form. Because everything that man does will eventually take on form. When with the thought, the essence of the thought, will take on form, a shape, a structure. Same thing with our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And there are people who have the gift of mediumship or who are clairvoyant. They can see the thoughts. You can see it. So it's just only such people who have such a gift who can see it. For example, let us say a theft has taken place, or even a murder. Somebody has killed another. And you call in a clairvoyant person, somebody who can see with his inner eyes, to help solve the problem or the riddle or the crime. He may be able to see the thoughts that has come into being, the train of thought that has come into being of the murdered person as well as the murderer. You can also see the place in fine gross matter where that incident has taken place. So it's a gift of somebody who has that inner eye to see. So that is in one way that your thoughts can be seen. But generally, it's not known to many people. It's not something that many can have. It's only those who have such gift of either clairvoyance or clairaudience. Somebody can also have the gift of hearing with his inner ears. So that's that. But when you read the great message, you can then know all these possibilities. All right, calling from Okoko. Please, lower the volume of your radio set. Lower the volume of your radio set. Blessing, please.
Okay, I'm back from there. Can you hear me?
Yes, too loud. Can you still lower it?
Can you hear me now?
You can hear your voice. It's too loud.
Can you still hear me?
Okay, yes, go on now.
The question I want to ask is that there is water husband and wife husband, and if somebody is having business or somebody is into business, we do affect that person's business not to do well. So I want to know if it is true that such things do happen, and if it do happen, what is the cause?
Is a spirit husband and a spirit wife. There's usually this question about spirit husband and spirit wife. Don't look at such matters. Whatever it is that will affect your business, it is not because of spirit husband or spirit wife, which does not exist. But what you yourself have done, what you sow is what you reap, is a law. And as we have said before, everything that we do in this world take on form. And these forms are molded by the elemental beings. They are make sure that they grow, and when it's harvest time, they must return to the person who has produced the forms. Prince Oji is calling from Abuja. Hello, Prince Oji. Hello, Prince Oji. Yes, you are on. You are on. Yes, please go on with your question. What is your question?
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Okay. Yes. Now, it is wrong when somebody passes on and you say, may his soul rest in peace. In the first place, there is no rest in creation. Many people have the idea that when you put the person in a coffin, then it will stay in the coffin like that and just keep on sleeping until the judgment day. It does not work like that. Even as the soul is being taken to the burial ground, the soul is already detached from the physical body. He is even sitting on the coffin and is hearing what people are saying around him. But he is still connected by a cord, physical body. And after a shorter or longer period, that cord will be cut, the soul will be free, and then it will be attracted, enveloped, and retained by what is homogeneous. There, he will meet his own kind. There is no rest. He continues walk, either to suffer or to enjoy. There is no rest in creation. All right. Mr. Ogene is calling from Sapele. Sorry, the line went off. You should try and call again. The telephone number... Cell phone numbers to call 0705 0298 or 0805 944 1123. All right. Okay. The last caller was asking, what is spirit? Spirit is the real core of man. Man comes from the spiritual realm, and his real essence is spirit. But on his journey to the material, he took on many cloaks. The substantial cloak, the ethereal cloak, the astral cloak, and finally the physical body. And likewise, on his journey back to the spiritual realm, if he has obeyed the laws of the Almighty Creator, he will be dropping these cloaks one after the other. First the physical body, then the astral cloak, the ethereal cloak, the substantial cloak, before he can then actually eventually enter the spiritual kingdom. Jonah is calling from Ojo. Hello, Jonah. Hello, Jonah, are you there?
Yeah, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Please, there is what he said in certain thoughts, which I don't understand very well.
The word is that?
You say that a person can be able to understand what people have in mind. At times, I may look person eye to eye. I may understand what the person has in mind. But you didn't tell me well how can be able to understand the feeling.
All right. Now, many times, man is able to deceive his gross material environment. He's saying something, but he's having his heart a different thing. And that is what is happening most times. What we say is not what we actually mean in our heart. But when we allow our intuition to be active, the intuition is the only way the spirit shows its activity. When we allow our intuition to be active, we can then immediately sense the true nature of the one we are interacting with, whether he is genuine in what he is telling us or is not genuine. Because the spirit within us is able to measure with the speed of light. That is to say, you can immediately sense the true nature of the person you are interacting with, or the situation you find yourself, or the environment. Because the spirit can pick up the radiations. Everything produces radiations. The one you are interacting with is sending out radiations. The environment is sending out radiations. The circumstance is sending out radiations. When the spirit is active, it is able to pick these radiations and interpret them correctly, irrespective of what the man is saying, irrespective of how his body language is saying it. Then that is why we have to be awake spiritually. Remember, our Lord Jesus is saying, awake. Awake means allow your intuition, allow your spirit to become active. He says, pray and walk. And all these sayings are helping us, telling us that we must always allow the intuition to be the one to give us, to lead. But the real fall of man occurred because, instead of us allowing our intuition, that is the reactivity of spirit, to take the lead, we allow the intellect to dictate events for us. The intellect is a product of the frontal brain, and it is only for earthly understanding. It is to facilitate earth life. Whereas the intuition, which is produced by the spirit, and the instrument for that spirit is the back brain, is able to pick the essence, is able to absorb radiations from above, is able to transmit the volition of the light, while this intellect is supposed to be the tool at the hand of the spirit. That is how the Almighty has designed this body that we are to use in this physical world, with the spirit leading and the intellect carrying out what the spirit has already decided. That is, the horse is in front and is pulling the cart behind. Then there will be smooth movement, there will be harmony. Unfortunately, today we put the cart before the horse. We now put the intellect to make decisions, and that is why there is decline and problems in the world today. All right, let's take some text messages. Is it true that, does the dead see the living? Yes, the dead can see the living after a short starting period. When somebody dies, immediately dies. The connecting cord soul is still intact. During that period, the soul that has just departed is able to partially see his earthly environment, able to partially hear what people are saying. But once the connecting cord is cut, this possibility is lost to it, because only the physical eye can see that which is physical. The ethereal eye can see only ethereal, and so on. Emeka is calling from Allah.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Emeka. Yes, you are on.
Hello?
Yes, you are on, Emeka. You are on.
Hello?
Yes, go on. The line. Hello, Emeka.
Hello?
Yes, go on.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Please, I want to ask, if someone's dreams and aspiration is not achieved before he or she died, do you think that that person can have rest in the beyond?
Well, it depends on what the aspiration is.
Hello?
Yes, listen to the radio.
Hello?
For the... Yes, we have heard your question. Listen to the radio for the response. It depends on what the aspiration is. If the aspiration is mainly earthly, which is what many people are running after now, how to have money, build house, have properties, and so on, all these things are things that will now tie the person down. He will come outbound, because he is still carrying that which is earthly into the beyond. Yet in the beyond, he doesn't need such things. So it depends on what the aspiration is. That is why we must always, in everything we do, follow the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added unto you. When we have that as the main goal, then our activity will be such that it will harmonize with the laws of the Almighty Creator. When such a person passes on, because he has the high spirituality as his goal, he will continue on his journey, ascent into the luminous kingdom. But when a man has as his main goal, earthly goals, how to acquire property and so on, and that is his main goal, when he leaves the flesh, he will be outbound. He cannot go, because this aspiration will always hold him down. So that is why I said it depends on what it is you are aspiring. And our main goal of coming to this physical world is not to acquire property. The property and so on is only to facilitate art life. But what we really need to do, what we must do, is to experience the living laws of our Creator, to come to the recognition of these laws, and to adjust our life accordingly. That is the path to happiness, to peace, and progress. Okay, another caller is here. Esther is calling from Okoko.
Mike. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, if you want to find yourself,
Okay.
You find yourself making love with a strange man you don't know. And when you wake up in the morning, you find yourself unhappy. Everything about you become unhappy. What is the cause?
Well, in the first place, I do not interpret dreams. But one thing we must know about dreams is that we have to distinguish between genuine dreams and false dreams. Genuine dreams are those dreams whereby there is no exchange of word, but the participants are able to communicate. Words and sentences are produced by the frontal brain, which is the seat of the intellect. When we sleep, it is the frontal brain that is at rest. That is, we are supposed to be at rest. We cannot think while we are sleeping. And it is the back brain alone that will be working. And the genuine dream is the true experience of the spirit. But because we have distorted this, our physical body, the frontal brain is so large, even when it's sleeping at night, it is still sending radiations to the sensitive back brain, which is the dream brain. It thereby brings about confusion in dreams. So that is one thing you should know about dreams. As to interpretation, the dreamer is the best interpreter of his own dreams.
Hello.
Okorafo is calling from Ikorodu. Hello. Hello, Mr. Okorafo.
Yeah.
You are on.
Hello.
Yes, you are on.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. Sir, my question is in marriage.
Yeah.
The two people involved. So how do they have love for each other at the same time so that the marriage will work and always tell us? Because impossible, or what is happening now is that a man while looking for a wife has love for the wife he's about to marry. Why the wife didn't have such true love and vice versa? Number two, Jesus walking on water, he did not believe it's possible like that, as the Bible told us. But my conclusion there is that in feeding, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 5 bread. Fishes. So, he also raised Lazarus from the dead. Why did you believe all those ones and you did not believe him walking on water? Then the third question is this: what is the difference between a soul and a spirit? Thank you, sir.
All right. Now, talking about the marriage, first of all, you must understand that true love exists between only a man and a woman. And how do you recognize true love? First of all, when true love enters the soul of a man, he feels himself too little, too small beside the beloved. That is, he cannot understand how can he, so small, be loved by this person. And with this comes the acquisition of two virtues, modesty and humility. Then also, when true love enters the soul of a man, he will always have the yearning to serve the other, not to hurt by any word or deed, to put hand and soul, to serve the hand and foot, to put his hand above the other one so that no harm can come near the person. That is the evidence of true love to the other person. And finally, in true love, the person has a wish to do one extraordinary thing for the beloved. So that is how you will now recognize true love. But the true love must also be reciprocated. Is something that has to, for the union to be harmonious, it has to be on both sides. It is only when it is on both sides, that is, there is harmony, that you can now say this is a marriage that is made in heaven. When Jesus Christ said, that what God has put together, joined together, no man should put asunder. That is, it is not the marriage that the God Almighty has joined together. No, it is not marriage. So it's not that people just meet and go before the altar and say they are married. No. What God has joined together are two people who have met the condition of harmony and genuine love. It's like two halves of a cola nut. They fit perfectly together. Or the two hands, when you lock them together, they fit perfectly together. It is only such that now you can say marriages made in heaven. But more than 80% of marriages made today are not. And that's why they are breaking down. All right, I'll answer the other questions after taking this call. Mr. Ogene is calling from Sapele.
Obene.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Obene, yes, go on.
Yes. What did our Lord Jesus Christ mean when he said, men are poor in spirit?
Okay. Now, that particular quotation, unfortunately, it is wrongly transmitted. It is not blessed those who are poor in spirit, but those who are pure. P-U-R-E, pure, not P-O-O-R, pure. If you are poor in spirit, what can you gain? But pure, where their heart is pure. That's it. Now let me go back, Mr. Okorafor's other questions. Now you're talking about Jesus Christ walking on water. All the miracles our Lord Jesus Christ performed, they are in accordance with the laws of his Father. Miracles are not arbitrary acts. They work according to the laws. Miracles are happenings that are natural. The only difference is that because of the concentrated power, they occur at a very fast pace. That is the only difference. And so every one of the miracles Jesus Christ performed are in accordance with the law. Unfortunately, some of them have been wrongly recorded. For example, walking on water. A physical body cannot walk on water, even though that physical body is housing the divine core of Jesus. Still, it must still obey the laws of nature. The physical body is heavier than water. It will sink. Jesus Christ did not walk on water. He did not. Yes, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And that is also because as long as when a man dies, as long as the connecting cord between soul and body is still intact, as long as that physical body is not too cold, as long as that physical body is not destroyed, a higher power can recall the soul to re-enter the body, and Lazarus must obey the call of the master. That was what happened in that case. So also with the raising of the youth of nine and the daughter of Jairus. Then the other question, feeding of 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. You cannot feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and fishes. It is not possible to multiply 5 fishes that time. But Jesus Christ spoke to 5,000 people, all right. But he fed them spiritual food, which is the word of God, was not physical food, as has been recorded here. All right, we take this call from Oyibo Joe from Abuja. Hello.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I have two questions to ask.
Go on, please.
Okay, sir, my first question goes, that is on the issue of the spirit.
Yes.
Sir, can you hear me?
I'm listening.
Yeah, on the issue of spirit. You said if the person has the aspiration for worldly materials, if the person died, the person will be outbound.
That is, if he's striving towards the earthly, if all his aspiration is towards earthly things, then when he dies, he will be bound to that which is earthly. He cannot go. Yes, go on.
So, sir, I don't understand that. That is, okay, that is, though he is dead, but he will still be around.
Yes, okay. What it means by athlete is that, you know, this physical world we are, listen to the radio for the response. We are, I understand your question. This physical world we are is the densest and the lowest of all the rings of the entire creation. Next is the medium gross material world. After that is fine gross matter. That those planes are also where people live. In the medium gross matter, all the words that we have produced, that is where we must reap the consequences. In fine gross matter, all the thoughts we have produced, that is where we must reap the consequences. Before a man is even able to enter the ethereal world, which is a very long journey. Now, a man dies. You are seeing his physical body here, but you cannot see his soul unless you have the inner sight to see the soul. If his aspiration is only for the material, because that is what is heart, because wherever your heart is, that is also where you will be. That is where his heart is. Then he will always be pursuing, even though you cannot see him in the physical world, but is in the nearer environment of the physical. And he will be always be doing that, always still pursuing that which is physical. He will be bound. You cannot continue. You cannot even think of looking upwards and continuing his journey. That is what is meant by being outbound. If, for example, somebody loves to drink beer and it becomes a propensity, it is a propensity that ties the man down. He will be running around those people who still love to drink alcohol and trying to enjoy the sensation of enjoyment which those are enjoying here, trying to be a share in it with them. And he will be unconscious of the fact that that is actually a punishment. It can be there for decades, centuries, until the propensity, the yearning for such things wins off from his heart, and then he now starts to think of something more noble. So before we leave this flesh and enter into the beyond, it's easier here on earth to do that which is right. But once a man leaves the flesh, is subject to the influence of the homogeneous environment he finds himself when he enters into the beyond. That is why one must learn, use every moment, every minute, to pursue that which is noble, that which is beautiful, and that which is in accordance with the laws of the Almighty. Okay. Patrick is calling from Aguda. Yes. Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, go on, please. Go on. Yes, go on.
Are you hearing me? Hello.
Sorry, there must be something wrong with that. Okay, you can call or send a text. Now, to the last question, Mr. Okora, for the difference between soul and spirit. Now, the real core of man is spirit. Man is a spiritual being, but he has many cloaks. When here on earth, the outermost cloak is the physical body. When he dies, he must share the physical body. Then is called a soul. Now that soul is also it has the spirit at its core, but is still enveloped by other cloaks, with the exception of the physical body. That is when you call it a soul. But this soul too also continues to experience, and if he's pursuing that which is good, it will continue to rise and be shedding the various cloaks at those places where he took those cloaks on his journey downwards, until finally he's able to return to his original origin, which is paradise. Now we are coming to the end of today's transmission, but okay, let's take the last call. Mr. Emeka is calling from Agbara. Hello. Sorry, the line went dead. Now, let's remind our listeners, the lectures coming up in September, Sunday, 14th of September, venue of lecture, Grace Center, 129B Akonwojo Road, Kwara Bus Stop, Akonwojo in Lagos. Topic: This Tumultuous World, what lies behind it. Time of lecture 4 p.m. Also, on Sunday, 14th of September 2014, venue of lecture is Continuous Education Center Lecture Hall, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. Topic is based on the Grey Message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. After this program, for those who may still wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. Our website, www.truthoflifradio.com. Email, info@truthoflifradio.com. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. And so, until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you a good evening.